Hey there, my friend. It's Trisha Carr. Real quick before we head into this episode, I just want to make sure that you know about Modern Mystic Life, a subscription service for spiritual mentoring and education. The monthly subscription is only $11.11 per month. We have regular support and inspiration delivered with the utmost ease right into your text messenger 2 to 4 times per week. You can use your mobile device or your desktop messenger to access the lessons and meditations, a monthly MP3 download of a produced meditation, at least once per month live meditation led by me. There is no account login, and we have a monthly live class workshop. These are usually $35 for non-subscribers, so it is quite a deal. And the community is amazing. This is a way for you to support the Charmed Life podcast and also a way for us to be able to work more closely together. So do check out how you can subscribe in the show notes. I hope to see you there. Hello and welcome to the Charmed Life podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe, and I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. This episode is guaranteed to offer inspiration and empowerment, because that's how I came away with how I came away from this conversation with my guest, who is a business, money, and feminine energy coach, and her name is Jocelyn Kelly Reed. I want to tell you all about Jocelyn and get you into this conversation. And before I do, though, I want to make sure that I mention up front here about a way that you can help you if you feel like you are in, you're stuck maybe with business and money and you need some help moving forward. There is a free resource that I have mentioned many times on this podcast, and that is for yourself to actually be able to apply for free hypnotherapy sessions with a resident student, someone who is under clinical supervision, who is fully trained and completing their hours as a resident in their internship at HMI College of Hypnotherapy. I actually mentor several people who are in their internship in their clinical residency with HMI. And so I can tell you, both from my experience as a mentor, as well as my experience having been in the college, that this is a wonderful free service that is available to the community. And so the reason I bring this up now, before I head into the conversation with Jocelyn Kelly Reed, is because Jocelyn shares her really fascinating story of going through a journey of having, of being deeply in debt and then surging up from that to a place of empowerment and having, you know, $1 million in sales and beyond. And that's where she stands now. But as she's sharing her story, you know, we can be in that position of feeling really stuck moving forward in business, stuck moving forward with finances. And when you need help, and you don't have the resources for it, then this is one of the options that I would love to make sure people know about. And so if you you find yourself in the position, or if you're just interested in hypnotherapy and want to be able to participate in a hypnotherapeutic relationship with someone pro bono, then this is something you can check out. You can find the link to be able to apply in the show notes, and I will just recite it here for you now, and that is by going to hypnosis.edu/sessions. Pretty simple. You can go there and put in your application, and you could be on your way to receive free hypnotherapy sessions. It would be really awesome. So now let's get into this episode with, it's just so much, it's so fun and so packed with empowerment and inspiration. Let me tell you about Jocelyn Kelly Reed. Jocelyn Kelly Reed is here for one major mission: to lead women towards making a big impact, to get rich, work less, play more, and fall in love with life. This money queen has had her fair share of success. She worked for the largest asset manager in the world for 7 years, grew a direct sales team of 100 people for a social impact brand, and closed over $1 million in sales for a luxury furniture line in under a year at her last full-time position. Jocelyn understood money on a 3D level, but after going through a major emotional and spiritual crack open, which included leaving a toxic relationship and getting out of six figures in debt, Jocelyn mastered how to call money in on a spiritual and energetic level and now rocks a seven-figure business. It is through these emotional, spiritual, and feminine principles that Jocelyn masters her relationship with money. So it's just a really cool story that she talks about. She also talks about how her psychic awakening and maybe her spiritual awakening didn't exactly align. So she was at the peak of this, you know, 3D money business success model, then plunged down into the depths of debt as she broke through and cracked open, and then brought herself back up into a spiritually aligned and feminine approach to having business and money success. So that's what you're in for in this conversation. And so welcome to this conversation, this conscious and inspired conversation with Jocelyn Kelly Reed, and I will chat with you on the other side. Well, Jocelyn, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to connect with you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's such a fun, it's like, I love having these conversations. I think podcasting is just the best.
It is. It really is, especially compared to other ways that we're talking to one another, like 5-second reels on, or not reels, but 5-second TikTok videos and stuff. So yeah.
100%. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes I have something to say that goes longer than 5 seconds. I completely agree. Long form content for the win.
I agree. And I prefer to listen to it. It's so much better for our nervous systems. You know what I mean? Like to, if you're in the car, you're washing dishes, you're on a walk, you're exercising, and to listen to like an authentic, heart connected conversation, that's way better for us than the scrolling. So anyway,
yeah.
Thank you for coming on and having this conversation with me and as well as the whole everyone else who's listening. So would you get us into the world of Jocelyn? Tell us about your journey and the work that you're doing.
Of course. So I'm an intuitive business and abundance coach, and I help women build businesses, build a relationship to money, build a life that basically we love, that comes without sacrifice, where we're very much getting paid to be ourselves and deprogramming from the matrix and like just leaving all programming at the door and defining what it looks like to have juicy lives that we love, to build wealth, to build aligned relationships, to have all of it in a way that obviously like most people don't do, right? So we quite often need support in that because our programming says otherwise around what we can have and who we get to be. And I wound up here because I had a very deep and intense spiritual awakening during my Saturn return. So I just turned 40, but this was during obviously my late 20s to early 30s. And I had been like the typical do all the right things, like had the boyfriend, had a great job. Like, do you know what I mean? I was just like checking the societal boxes that you're told to check. And all of a sudden, I just found myself not wanting those things. Like I didn't want my job in finance. I didn't want to live in San Francisco. I didn't want to be in the relationship. Like I all of a sudden just didn't want any of it. And it's interesting because considering how spiritual and awake I am now, I was not spiritual at all. Like I wasn't anti. I just literally, it was like I had not had my awakening, you know? And so I left that whole life and I moved to Los Angeles. And that's when things, I mean, they fell apart to fall together, but they really fell apart. And I had a really intense psychic awakening, which it's one thing if you're looking to expand your intuition. It's another thing if this is completely new to you. And I was hearing voices. I was hearing sounds that are much further away than you should be able to hear. I got wound into a very codependent, karmic, trauma-bonded relationship, like up and down for 5 years. I was having premonition dreams about everything he was going to do inside our dynamic. They all came true, including his engagement to the woman that I presume he's still with now. I mean, it was, I destroyed my finances. I had previously been someone who was very good with money, maxing out my 401k, all my investments, et cetera, et cetera. I wound up with close to $100,000 in tax debt. I mean, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I obviously went from being financially abundant to not at all. And I hadn't had that experience. In fact, it was like quite the opposite. And so my whole life unraveled and it ended, I mean, like literally in every area. And it ended in a health crisis. I had to have open surgery because I had fibroids. I literally had 37 fibroids. And I, at that time, I mean, honestly, it took that moment for me to start to wake up. I was never someone, I was used to being healthy. Like I had had no experience with anything other than like the flu, a cold, you know what I mean? The kind of like normal things. And having my health on the line, especially because there was a period, so I basically got a period that never went away and I was bleeding for months while they were trying to get me to stop bleeding in order to have surgery. So I couldn't work. I couldn't do anything. And I, when you are kind of left to do nothing but sit with yourself, you start to look at, well, how in the world did I get here? And what is going on with me? And I found Louise Hay. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing that the spiritual reason for fibroids was romantic shame, which made perfect sense for how I'd been living. And I would say that, and from there, I lived in Los Angeles at the time and I ultimately moved to New York, but that really kicked off my own journey with healing, my own journey. Oh, and I, part of the reason I wound up in so much debt was because I had a psychic addiction because I was having my own awakening and I was obsessed with this guy. I mean, this is not the way that you want to channel having a psychic awakening, is to like flood your field with like input from 6,000 different people. So I am being brought to my knees. I started my healing journey and I learned a lot more about, honestly, manifestation, about trauma, about not just this lineage, you know, trauma from our familial life, but also from our lineage, past lives, et cetera. And I just really had that moment of like, well, if I created all of this going in this direction, like I can turn this ship around. And to me, honestly, that was a very empowering moment. And ultimately, you know, as I went on my journey deeper, I just realized like I started to hear the truth of my own soul. And so many of the things that had fallen apart was because they were never for me all along, obviously. And I, you know, I feel like when you know you're supposed to be an entrepreneur, like it starts out as a whisper. And I still, once I moved to New York, I did have a job for 2 years, but I remember knowing that that would be my last job. Like I just knew, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I'd had like 15 years of sales and marketing experience. And I thought that I wanted to do business consulting, and that did open my eyes. I did a little bit of it on the side of my job. And I remember doing one project and I made in a few hours my New York rent, which normally would have been like one paycheck from working for 2 weeks and all the other things that go into having a corporate job that weren't aligned with me. And that just woke me up with what was available. And then ultimately it just hit me and I really wanted to support other women because my experience had been so painful, and to just actually have what we want and not always have to rock bottom to rise. Obviously I've learned now the frequency of the build. I've, you know, since the beginning of 2020, I've built a multi-million dollar business. I mean, I have a completely different reality. I used to have like level 10 anxiety. I don't anymore. You know, like I'm very self-sourced in my energy. Like I'm a completely different person. And so it's just wild how much can change and honestly how quickly when we're focused. So you know, my clients aren't necessarily in the place that I was in. I wouldn't say where I was in at that time was like, I wasn't even open to help for a lot of that. You know, you have to kind of get to that place on your own. But yeah, so it's not always as bad as where I was, but we will have different versions of it where we're still suffering, even if we're quote unquote doing okay by society's standards. Because what we created, we could have created from a complete place of misalignment from what our soul's actually here for. And to me, it's like anything that's not built in truth won't last, or it will come at an enormous cost. And so much of this journey is actually like the journey into being fully connected with our own soul.
Mm. What a story. So,
I know.
So welcome to your psychic awakening, everyone.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. It's so funny because people want to grow their intuition. I'm like, I was not looking for this at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a friend who had something, well, I don't know if it's similar or not, but when she had psychic awakening, third eye opening, whatever it is, it was a like a spiritual emergence. It was a kundalini psychosis, is what it's sometimes called. Yeah. And where it's some of the things you said, though, like hers were like, she's like, my psychic abilities, I guess you would say, were like impossibly correct. Like, yeah. I could talk to someone on the phone and tell them exactly where they were in their house, what color shoes they were wearing, with blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like, but it did, it was, she wasn't ready for it. The thing about the psychic realms, you know, like things like what religions call demons or whatever, that's a thing. I don't believe it in a religious sense, but it is. It's dark elemental energy that basically humans create. And we have to train ourselves to ignore it. But it takes that level of trust in yourself. I don't know. It takes a certain level of it. So I think that's why some of us don't, you know, our higher self is like, let's hold this off until this thing has happened. But some of us, like, it's like, whew, okay, go ahead. See how you do. You know what right? I mean? Like, a psychic awakening isn't necessarily a spiritual awakening, or I don't know if I'm saying it exactly right.
No, my psychic awakening, I agree, because my spiritual awakening didn't come at the same time. Right. I started to wake up a lot later. To me, the spiritual awakening is more the connection with the divine, understanding there's energies at play. Everything isn't 3D, et cetera, et cetera. But I think they're different. I agree with you. And no, this was not a gentle introduction. And it's interesting now because my gift is so different. Now I don't hear voices now when I used to. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't, it's not a part of the frequency that you are interested or willing to regard. You know, like,
yeah, I never was like, oh, turn this off. It kind of just, the way that it is now is I have a lot more knowing.
Yeah.
So before, I was so emotionally all over the place that my sense of knowing, it was like things, I honestly think this man was sent into my life to help wake me up too, because I was so overly focused on him. And then so many of my premonition dreams were about him. It was like, I couldn't ignore it versus like, oh, I had a dream about my brother, you know? And also my Pluto's in my 12th house. So it was always going to be deep. Oh my goodness. And my Chiron's on my Venus. So we were always going to be doing lessons through love and money, but it is interesting. And now, and I agree with you. So at first I was tuned into to very dark frequencies. And also LA is kind of interesting, right? Because LA, while it looks really beautiful, it's kind of has a complex energetically just by the experiences a lot of people have there. Of course, there's people living blissful, you know, beautiful lives, but there's also a lot of dreams going to die. There's a lot of doing whatever it takes to climb the ladder in the entertainment industry, like literally at all costs. And I lived in West Hollywood. It's kind of, there's a lot of dark energy trapped there. And I was extremely tuned into it. I mean, it was practically debilitating, whereas now I don't feel debilitated by my gifts at all. And I have the ability to not feel certain things emotionally, but I don't feel tuned into every single thing without any energetic boundaries.
Right. Right.
It's very different.
I live in Burbank. I don't know if you know that. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. So you know what I mean.
Yeah. Fortunately, I am a little more in the valley, but I'm right next door to it. So, and I don't like going to Hollywood or downtown. I do not care for it. It's like my skin crawls, you know, if I have to go through, hopefully I just go through. If I just go to Larchmont, to my favorite gluten-free bakery, and I'm out, I can handle that.
The East Side is a very different vibe.
Yeah, exactly. It's a
little but you know what I mean. It's just the level of desperation and all of the manipulation, and that it is alive and well in the air there. It's wild.
It is an narcissistic egregore, gaslighting the pants off of everyone. So yeah, I mean, and again, that is what I have noticed. I have seen sometimes. Right now, I'm not living that. I'm not just like, you know, it's not on my radar very much right now. And I actually like my studio is a post-production film and television audio studio. So I'm around it. And, but you know, like actually there's my landlady of the building, she's like, "Ooh, do you see the ghost? People see the ghosts in our building." And I was like, "No, they don't get to be seen by me."
I choose not to. Thank you.
Not interested. Not helpful. Not interested. I'm in here talking to Archangel Sandalphon. Yeah, but no, I'm not interested.
Well, this is it. As we mature spiritually, you choose what you tune into and what you tune out, but also you're aware, right? So you also wouldn't choose to be in a very loaded place. You would feel like, oh, this doesn't feel good, and choose something else. Mm-hmm. But you're not driving by every house, seeing everything that's ever happened in everybody's home and this, that, and the other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? There's still I think it's old fashioned and I think it's superstitious belief that we don't have control or management or mastery over what we experience psychically, but we do. And when we can anchor that, then it gets fun. It gets more fun. But I think it does take a spiritual awakening in order for that to sort of get that shift to be embodied.
Well, and to understand that it's there for a reason. So what I've noticed in most people is that if the gift is not expressed, it's like it's unbridled and not in a good way. True. Right. So I feel like it actually has to be leveraged for something. Like obviously for me, yes, it's in guiding my life, but also my clients, my business, et cetera, et cetera. Although I'm not sitting there giving quote unquote psychic readings, I'm very tuned in, right? It's very easy to see what's happening with people energetically, et cetera. It's just sort of like interwoven in who I am and what I do. But I don't think it's any big surprise that everything felt a lot more quote unquote manageable once I started putting the gift to use. And I've seen this in other people too. Because we're not given this for no reason.
Yeah. I love what you just said, that it has to be leveraged for something. It's like it has to be grounded. And, you know, maybe that means different things for different people. Maybe that does mean volunteering at, you know, a hospice and helping those people. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily have to mean,
like you're a business. Career.
Yeah,
exactly.
But it might for a lot of us. It really might.
For a lot of people, it does. And sometimes it's just, are you honoring it, right? Mm-hmm. Because it gets louder and it gets crazier, sort of like what the universe does to us when we don't listen, right? And it gets more dramatic and more, the circumstance that we're intended to walk away from just gets increasingly dramatic and difficult. I feel like our gifts work the same way. So if you continuously ignore your intuition, things feel a lot more chaotic. If you actually listen to your own gift and pay attention and follow your guidance, even when it quote unquote doesn't make sense, you start integrating the experience a lot more because you're bringing, you know, your own 5D energy and your like 3D world into harmony.
How do you hit rock bottom? How do you stop the falling into rock bottom? I'm picking that up from the audience right now, because some people are like, I've been hitting rock bottom the way that Jocelyn is explaining, and I'm really open to the universe, and I'm saying, but how, and I don't see it in that, like you shared, you didn't know what you wanted to do. How do you help people to get that going the right way?
I think we have to get, well, I think there's an enormous amount of self-honesty required, because a lot of times we are in these situations, but we have the reason why outsource outside of ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just this way. Oh, this just happened in this job. Oh, do you know what I mean? Like how people will
quote, oh, it's quote, the economy.
Blame. Oh, it's the economy,
which is a truth. And some of these things are a truth. They are a reality, but they're not the ultimate reality. And well, if we give up our sovereignty to that as an excuse, that's where we can get in trouble, right?
Right. Or it's like, oh, my husband's having a hard time in his job, therefore I can't thrive. Do you know what I mean? And even the example of the economy, well, there's always the people who become wildly abundant inside every economy because they pivot and they're choosing to.
Yeah.
And usually when we're in, I've never seen anyone in a rock bottom who does not have an enormous amount of their energy outsourced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So it's like, even to our relationships, to what other people think, to saying yes when you mean no, so that you can have a person think a certain way about you. You might not realize that's why you're doing it. You might think you're being nice. Right. But underneath the people pleasing, it's like, yeah, but if you really cared, you would just tell the truth, because we tell the truth to people we genuinely care about because we want them to know. When we don't really care and we want just something to go away, we don't tell the truth.
Hmm.
right? But people don't think about it like that. They think about it as like, oh, they're being kind or they're protecting other people. I'm like, no, you're not. You're just preserve. You want to preserve how this person sees you, which isn't kind or truthful at all.
It takes some time sometimes, though. We're so conditioned, we're so trained to hide ourselves and to give up our identity that it might take, it takes a lot of awareness, I guess.
It takes a lot of self-awareness and new choice. Mm-hmm. An enormous amount of self-awareness and new choice, right? And because the thing is too, if you have a high level of self-awareness and you're willing to be someone who makes new choices, you're going to start improving your life, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people deal with their rock bottom states with shame and guilt. Yeah. And those are two frequencies that actually don't change anything, but they're very easy to fall into because they're normalized in society. Mm-hmm. Right. But if you think about the frequency of shame, where are you going from there? Literally nowhere. And in a way, sometimes it's kind of a cop out because it's easy to dip into instead of looking at the parts of you that actually just don't has not chosen to show up for X, Y, and Z, who's leaning out of the conversation because it's uncomfortable, who's basically not wanting to lean into whatever it is that's uncomfortable in order for you to transcend where you are. So you dip back into shame and guilt and whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right. And then you're victim to the circumstance so that you don't actually need to take responsibility for it. You can just quote unquote feel bad about it.
And shame and guilt, they're so insidious. Like you said, it's like negative step one. It's not even step one yet. And we've actually been conditioned to, that it's pious somehow, that will prove that we're good girls or boys, but usually girls, because women, you know, we're collectively more shamed in this patriarchal context.
But isn't it interesting that what's normalized are frequencies that actually don't take you in? In fact, they set you back, but in terms of forward motion, they don't take you anywhere. And people just drop into them like we're turning the faucet on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, also we have to recognize, I just want to add to where we're still playing out programming from the matrix that doesn't serve us. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we do feel shame because we've been told things are good or they're bad. They're right or they're wrong. There's no training around walking out duality inside of every single experience, inside of being human, inside of every frequency, there's duality. Right. So if we look for everything to be one way, good luck with life.
We are such in a place of that now. Social media and broadcast media as well has really been feeding on our tendency to polarize and to black and white think. And
Well, sometimes we even do it in a way where it's said to be quote unquote supportive of our growth, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, if you can put a label on it, that's the reason, right? Mm-hmm. So now you're forever an addict or you're forever depressed or you're forever an introvert, you're forever this, right? And sometimes like that label is helpful for you to potentially understand your experience and the experience that other people have had that's very similar to yours. But if you wear that like a badge of honor for the rest of your life, you will never transcend the label. It's sort of like how I feel there's an enormous difference between being a quote unquote survivor versus being someone who thrives. If you, and I'm not saying that you were not victimized by a certain situation. Of course, this has happened to all of us in different ways. But even in being like, I'm a survivor, your reality is always in context to that situation. You're never transcending it.
Yeah.
Do you really? And so we don't even realize the ways that like we're still choosing to be controlled by the very frequencies, experiences, et cetera, that we say that we desire to transcend.
And we will be right back. Hi, friend, it's Trisha Carr with an invitation for you. If you are ready to accelerate your ascension and connect to the swift flow of your life mission, Mind Body Ascension Acceleration Coaching. All of my clinical training, my experience from teaching and providing countless sessions and classes, one-on-one, group coaching, healing, reading, teaching, channeling, as well as my calibration as a human design reflector, I am offering all of this to you to step up your entire life. to accelerate your ascension walk. If you've had a single session with me, if you've had coaching, or if you've experienced transformation from any of my offerings, my classes, podcasts, videos, well, this is an accelerated and exponentially charged. This is what my soul has prepared for an eternity and up to now. And if you hear this call, then this is also co-created with your soul. Your life is meant to be joy first and a service as a close and integrated second. This coaching is especially tuned for high achievers who want to accelerate their progress on their life mission and create mind-body well-being and higher attunement. Submit to work with me in this powerful container, this premium coaching. If you feel the call, you can do it. I guide, you take action. I hold the resonant projection field, channel your steps, and you take action. The first action step is to fill out an application, the link to which you will find in the description. Be prepared, be ready to upgrade your mind-body ascension and your connection and flow with your spiritual mission. And now back to the show. So I have a history, not a reality, not a current of codependency. And, you know, I was groomed because I was, I grew up in a violent alcoholic house and then another household that was, my mother married a narcissist who physically, sexually, and mentally and emotionally abused me. So I was really groomed. I was really set up for that. And, I just left another, it's been about a year now. I left another narcissistic codependent relationship. And by the way, when I say that, I'm taking responsibility. It's my intention. But as I was and I'm still healing from it, that can take a while. But
yeah, of course.
A stage of my healing was afraid that, I mean, like I had the label on me. I'm codependent. If I create anything else, I'll be tricked because I couldn't see that that was codependent starting that one. Yeah. I couldn't see the narcissism and the codependency. I didn't see the love bombing and the, you know, I excuse red flags. I had some broken trust with myself. And mm-hmm. I feel like I've moved past it now. The relationship that you were in with that horrible relationship, did you say this person was a narcissist as well?
No. I feel like I didn't explore it that way. I was more exploring, like, why did I entertain that? Mm-hmm. Why was I there for so long?
Yeah.
But I really feel that, but there was other. So after him, I would say, so finally I walked away from that, but the pattern was definitely not healed. It just wasn't as extreme. So after that, it was other people, whether they be men or women. And I did definitely call some men who were definitely narcissistic, but I wasn't mm-hmm. using, I didn't like recognize that language. I didn't even at that point, to be honest with you, I didn't even know. Like, as you said, you're so codependent that and your energy is like you're seeking so much validation, like basically like you're getting all of your life energy off of attention from these people, which is very sad, but this is what we do. And I did not, in retrospect, I can look back and see it, but I feel like what helped me move through it more was just addressing my own participation.
Yes, that's what I've been doing. That's what was important to me. By the way, I want to say it's not my husband, it's not my spouse. No, I always want to mention that. He doesn't know what I talk about on this, and I want to make sure he never accidentally gets thrown under the bus.
You're like, I don't mean you. No, but it doesn't have to be a romantic partner.
No,
it can show people, it can be in work dynamics, it can mm-hmm. be in friendships. Like, I saw this in a lot of different places. It wasn't just him. But what helped me, but it's exactly what you said. It's like, I'm not going to go through my life calling myself codependent. Mm-hmm. Because how am I, it's like there's going to be that hesitation just going into any dynamic, any situation when really the label, while it was helpful to understand that, to be like, oh, cool. And there's this whole body of work around codependency. Let me understand this. Let me understand how I wound up this way, et cetera, et cetera. But to your point around self-trust, what actually freed me was building self-trust, right? And building myself and building my identity and validating myself and healing my things. And the label just genuinely became irrelevant.
Right.
Because what was quote unquote attractive to me now isn't, I mean, then just genuinely is not anymore. And what would send me spiraling then just doesn't. And first it was big spirals, right? Level 10 anxiety, can't sleep, et cetera, et cetera. And it didn't change overnight, but later it was like mini spirals, right? Like let's say I was dating someone and it wasn't working out and I don't know, they dropped off for a week or whatever it is. I would get into like mini spirals. Whereas now I don't get into mini spirals. I wouldn't date someone who drops off for a week. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like rather than even going down that, like I actually have standards now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I honestly don't think that I did before. I wouldn't have said that about myself, but look at how I was living my life.
Yeah, that I think that was the trust that I need to build with myself. It is that I have standards, and then it is telling myself that, hey, I know what my standards are, and I'm never going to leave myself in those, you know, because I can look back and see all the red flags that I excused, you know?
Right. And our intuition always told us, don't you? I feel like every time I look back, I wasn't going in going like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. There was things, we ignored our intuition from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And with, for me, from a perspective of self-shame, from a perspective of like thinking, oh, you're being judgmental. When it's like, no, my body had an ick feeling
exactly,
about that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But the good girl programming, right?
Yes.
It's like, oh, you're fine. You're fine. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine. Just put a smile on your face. Just keep going. Believe the best in people. Mm-hmm. X, Y, and Z. Oh, but your body wisdom is dead wrong.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that's how we are. That's how we're conditioned. Yeah. To ignore that and just do what you're told.
Usually you actually feel physically ill around these people. It's not confusing. When you're around an energy vampire, a narcissist, whatever you want to call them, it is not confusing. You feel physically ill in whatever way it shows for you. You're on edge. And afterwards, rather than feeling nourished, you feel drained.
The relationship that I'm talking about that I left, I did get sicker and sicker with different things. Fortunately, nothing that was too chronic, you know. But part of it was also like putting on weight that was unhealthy for me. And when I was starting to like back out of it, like needing to separate, I started to get, I mean, because there was a self-refusal in not eating correctly, not planning to eat correctly, and not moving my body, which is absolutely imperative for me, not just for having the right body composition, but spiritually. It's important.
Yeah,
to me.
100%. Yeah.
And so I lost like 7 pounds, like first off, you know, and this person started to gaslight me and say, that why would you want to do that? You know, so this person was like, and it was help, but it was medicinal because I was like, oh, there's the gaslighting. I've been ignoring that.
Right.
The teasing, you know, sometimes gaslighting is teasing or I'm just kidding. And
oh yeah. Watch humor, you know, I mean, and I love to make jokes and laugh, but you know what I mean? It's easy to be like, oh, well, they were just joking. Were they?
Mm-hmm.
You know when it doesn't, something doesn't land correctly.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So you did such an amazing thing and you told the story with so succinctly, but when we leave something that's toxic and painful and maybe a barrage of toxic and painful things, then that next period is the hardest because you've left it, but you still, now here's where we start. It's kind of like, it's like when alcoholics do quit drinking, they're just the same person without the drink. You know what I mean? Like it's really hard.
That's so, when the work begins.
That's when the work begins. Yeah.
And that's the most uncomfortable part, but this is what we were avoiding all along is being with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's
the scariest part because all of these, the people, the substances, the psychics, like all of these different things, they were just filling a void. Right. And they were keeping us from looking at ourselves. And I do remember, because it wasn't just one person, right? There was lots of people who had to phase out over time. And even certain jobs. And obviously there was a point where I left my job. I was a lot more stable by the time I left my job to become an entrepreneur. But it is the scariest part. But also, in a way, it's the most rewarding because now it is so easy for me to be with myself.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I enjoy it. In fact, I seek those opportunities because I never had had this previously where you feel pleasure just being with yourself and you're not thinking about somebody else and what they're going to do and what they're going to think and when they're going to call you and this, that, and the other. I feel like a full human. But in that time, it is the hardest part, but also that's where we want to get help. These are not things to navigate alone.
Yeah.
Like pieces of it are alone, sitting with self, exploring what's actually going on with you. But there's going to be a reason we were behaving certain ways, right? And we also have to learn to think about things differently and to see the world differently and to adjust our perspectives. You know, this is what we gain out of mentorship, listening to podcasts, all of these different things, is we start to learn how people who are high functioning and ways that we're still growing into, how do they actually make decisions? How do they look at things? What do they prioritize? How do they navigate relationships? How do they assess? I mean, for me, even I didn't even have the filter of like, okay, like people are actually in my life for a reason, not just because I quote unquote like them, right? Mm-hmm. But, ooh, okay, potentially this person is expansive financially. This person's expansive spiritually. Ooh, the way that she leads her health is at a totally different level than I do. Oh, wow. Her marriage is incredible. Whatever it is, right? People are there for a reason, not just because otherwise what happens, like a lot of people will default to the friend who will just let you throw your life to shit and not even say anything to you, right? We want to be around people who are good for our evolution. Mm-hmm. But I had to even learn to look for that.
Yeah.
Right, right. And not just the person who will go to the darkest place with me.
Right.
Right. But you know how we confuse that for connection?
Yes. Absolutely.
And intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The familiarity of that trauma bonding, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's, and having the help was absolutely critical so that you can start to stabilize because it's also uncomfortable. I remember having moments where, like, I was so familiar with anxiety and always having something to fix or solve that I couldn't tune into a life of like, well, if I'm calm, what does my life look like? What will I be quote unquote working on? I think, right. We do the work to the point where almost we can become quote unquote addicted to it. But I still have a healer. I do all the things in addition to like my business and money mentorship, et cetera, et cetera. But it's with a much, it feels like I'm just shaving things off now, but like I'm past the phase now of like actually being nervous not to have all of these things to quote unquote work on because that's the identity that I had built.
Yeah.
Was like, I have all these issues that need to be quote unquote worked on instead of like, I'm stable, I'm solid, I trust myself, I build evidence through continuously following my intuition and trusting myself. Right. I see all the progress I've made. And now the support I have is like, because I just want life to keep getting better. And I love the results to continue to go inward versus there's something wrong with me. We got to fix it. There's something wrong with me. We got to fix it. There's something wrong with me. We got to fix it. Which you really kind of dig yourself into a hole with that. And it's not true. All of this work is just helping you. It's just a journey of becoming. It's just literally a journey of becoming who you were meant to be all along. That's all we're doing.
It's like we have an addiction to identifying as broken, which is different than transcending and developing and becoming. It's a pivot, but it's a really important one.
Right. And that can be just even the way that you think about it. It's like, well, we just love the results that are on the other side of healing. We love the results that are on this other side of learning new things and being around other people who've anchored them. You genuinely start to feel better. Mm-hmm. And now I have so much familiarity with feeling stable, feeling good, et cetera, that I notice much faster if something feels off and I'm unwilling to go in that direction. Not I'm unwilling to be comfortable. I mean, uncomfortable or like unwilling to, you know how like sometimes alignment doesn't feel like you've been meditating for 12 hours. Like sometimes we need to make a leap, right? And it's not comfortable. I don't like that kind of discomfort. Great. Because that's, supports my evolution, that supports my growth. And that's something I really value. But being around someone where I'm like, something's off, like even if I can't name it, I now trust it.
And we don't have to label ourselves as judgmental because there's someone that we don't want to be around. It could be that you're not right for them. You know what I mean? Like, not every human being is supposed to be next to every human being. That's not how nature works. Nature.
Not how animals work. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I have four cats, and one of those cats doesn't like cats, and he has no problem with it. He does not mind. It's my problem to keep
it. It's your problem. Cats away from him. Yeah. He's like, I'm living my life. You're here to support me.
Yeah. He's like, I didn't want cats. I didn't tell you to get cats. I don't want those pets. You know, that's why
he sees so funny. He doesn't like other cats.
Yeah, he's not a cat. That's how we say it. I just want to hear more about how you help your clients. It's just so wonderful, the work that you do.
Thank you. I love that we took this angle. Well, I very much believe and I meant the angle of the conversation we had previously. I feel like a lot of people don't ask me about just kind of like that era and coming out of it, you know, because obviously I've built so much from there. So it's really beautiful to revisit also. Shows you the evolution is a real thing. Yeah. And so I find that a lot of us, especially at this time on the planet, have big missions.
Yes.
We're just here for a lot.
And thank you for saying that. I think we also think it's egoic or something to you feel that. It's true. Thank you for saying that, Jocelyn. Sorry to interrupt.
You feel it. You know, you can say you are a big deal, you are important, and you are here for something big. And it's literally matrix programming telling you that that's you having an ego. Mm-hmm. Because that's not conducive to the dark energies maintaining their control if people start to wake up and realize how powerful they really are.
Yeah.
Right? Without power, you're easy to control. So it's not egoic. It's real. And we know that it's real because you feel it in your body. You feel it in your bones. And so we want to be able to take whatever that is for you and turn it into something. And if you're already doing it, amplify it and make it bigger. There's a lot of us meant to have like all out legacies and to be very well known, right? And so then it's like, well, how do we take these feelings that we have and basically communicate them through something 3D, like a business, right? And offers and what we do and how we share our voice. And it's really about like helping women step into the fullness of their power. And then on a more 3D level, cool, how to build, expand, and scale a successful business that does not wear you out. Because my whole vibe is like the feminine way. Well, obviously we have healthy masculine structure around us to like support our feminine so that we can listen to our intuition and then call on our masculine to go do the doing, right? But we are predominantly led through our feminine energy towards alignment. And it's just that knowing that you get to make as much money as you want to make doing what feels good to you at no cost, sacrifice of your health, your relationships, your integrity, none of it. And like, you just get to actually be a fully self-resourced person. And so there's a lot of looking at our relationship to our feminine and our masculine, looking at our relationship to money. The programming around money on this planet goes so deep to the extreme of spiritual people thinking that they're good people if they don't have money. Yeah. It's like the deepest programming in the book, right? I'm like, mm-hmm. This is a program. This isn't real.
Yeah.
Right. So really improving our relationship to wealth, because we do live in a world where you are going to have more power and sovereignty, not only over your own life, but your impact in the world and what you're able to do. And then almost also the level of time that you no longer think about money because you're actually abundant. When you're not, you will think about it, even if you don't want to. It takes up like half your day if you have a financial quote-unquote problem, yeah. Right? So we want to be able to transcend the space where money is an issue of security so that we're not always playing in the frequency of survival with money and transcend into actual overflow, actual excess, actual abundance. I am of greater service to the planet and to my clients now than I was when I was worried about money, because where was my energy going? Not mm-hmm. into building myself, not deeper into the work, not, ooh, how can I, do you know what I mean? Ooh, I've transcended this. Let me go teach this, right? I was worried about money. I'm committed to growth also to show other people continuously the better it gets, the better it gets, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really like helping us live as women in just a completely new paradigm with business, with money, with ourselves, with our connection to the divine, with moving in self-trust, and circumstantial power, like power that doesn't waver based on circumstance, but it's just, it is who you are. And to me, at the end of the day, it's just being masterful stewards of our evolution, basically like evolving on purpose.
That's amazing.
Into who we want to be, right? I think that we put labels on ourselves. Oh, I'm an introvert. I'm like, well, are you? Or have you just reconfirmed that label over and over and over because you decided that about yourself? And so then all your actions supported that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you don't like time to yourself, right? But you know what I mean? We do it in all these small ways. So then, and then being an introvert turns into, ooh, I can't have a big business. I can't have a successful business because I don't want to be on social media all the time. And it's like this crazy self-perpetuating cycle. And I'm like, you do understand that we get to build our identity on purpose. I'm not saying that now you need to share your whole life from breakfast, from, you know, dawn till dusk on social media, but you get my point, right? Even if you look at some people's health journeys, people who would previously have said they were unhealthy, they ate horribly, X, Y, and Z, and now they're as fit comes and like couldn't imagine it any other way. That's someone who built a new identity on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, yeah, we get to, we're not just born certain ways. You get to choose it and actually actively work on it. And to me, it's, that's an expression of stepping into our full power.
Wow. And the people that women that you work with, you specialize with women. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What kind of clients, you know, are you aligned with? People who don't know what they want to do, people that you mentioned, if you're already doing it, amplifying it, how do you help people to move forward? And, you know, I mean, the question is begged to some of these people are like, well, yeah, I check all those boxes, but I do have money problems. Like it's an interesting puzzle to sort out.
Yeah.
Sometimes, right.
Well, and it doesn't, you could have started making money and now you have issues. You're trying to hoard money or quote unquote, save your way into wealth, which is not how we're going to get there. Right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean because you have money that there's nothing going on anymore. It's just new levels, right?
And we new levels, same devil.
New levels, but it's fun. It's like a video game because you can just keep going. So yeah, I mean, I definitely have something for everybody in the business. I have the people I have work that isn't even tied to building a business, right? But it's tied to our personal power, our feminine energy, getting in touch with the divine. I have a mastermind, Feminine Magic and Money, that's very deeply rooted in deep embodiment of feminine wealth, pleasure, magic, and magnetism. It's all about quantum healing, quantum manifestation. We're not doing any business coaching, right? I have containers for business coaching. I have containers for expanding our wealth energetics, for working on our power. So I definitely have people who are, yes, far along in business. Some who are like, I know what I want to do, but I need help building it. I have women who have corporate careers. It's definitely full spectrum, you know, in terms of the number the number of things in my world. There are a lot of them. So there's definitely something for everyone. No one is left out. But I do feel strongly about guiding women. I do feel that's genuinely what I'm here to do. I have a couple men in some of my self-paced programs, but typically speaking, my clients are all women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is just so wonderful. So you have many different offers, many different containers, and some are self-paced, some are all group, or some of them one-on-one as well. Or?
Yeah. So I have self-paced. I have like master classes, which are things I taught for an hour. I have more, you know, extensive self-paced programs. I have some that are like more hot seat coaching, kind of like a high-level group immersion. I have masterminds where there's like Boxer and that very like intimate plug in regularly. And I also have private coaching. So there's something, and I have a podcast as well, which is a great free resource, great. Queen Flow the podcast. And so there's honestly something for everyone, kind of like at all different investment levels and investment readiness levels, et cetera, as well.
I love that. Wow. And that's so great. And, you know, podcasts are such a great service. So thank you for doing that. And is there any last piece of inspiration for someone who is feeling stuck right now and wants to move forward to this wonderful, transformative place that you are in?
Let yourself be a student. You know, I always say, even now, it's like, I still view myself no matter what. Okay, cool. I could have certain mastery over the level where I'm at now, financially, emotionally, all the different things. But I approach everything. I still approach life. I still approach moving into mentorship myself as like, from the mindset of the beginner, because I feel like the person who is most masterful at life is also just like the best student, not in terms of you don't have power, you're just doing what other people told you to do, but it's like we bring that curiosity to life and we're always having that desire to grow. And so if you can take off this part of you that wants to like, oh my gosh, I visited this issue. Oh my God, we're revisiting it again. You know how people freak out if the same trauma comes back up with a different face on it. But sometimes we need to look at things 10 times before we transcend them. Like, can we just be okay with that? And it's like, can you actually find power in being a student and a forever student of life? Because that's definitely how I view myself. And I feel like whenever I talk to successful people, they always have that in common.
Yeah. Ooh, good stuff.
Just that willingness to learn and grow. And then you can take the stories off of it. And then you will grow much faster because you're not telling stories around how you should be further ahead. Like all these matrixy things we learned about what you should have done by a certain age, what you should own, drama. Like this isn't real. None of it is real. Yeah. So just be willing to learn and grow.
Yeah. Your heart's open then with that.
Yeah. That's
point.
The truth.
Yeah. Well, Jocelyn, this is so amazing. Everyone, be sure to check the show notes for all of the ways that you can connect with Jocelyn. I'm so grateful. Thank you for having the podcast and all of the other different levels of service. And thank you for the work you're doing on our beautiful planet.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. What a beautiful conversation. And for sharing your story. It's so beautiful to hear.
Thank you so much, everyone. Jocelyn Kelly Reed.
Bye.
One of the things that I love about this conversation and about Jocelyn is how she says right up front, she has a mission. And I find that to be so authentic and so accurate for those of us who are probably coming and listening to podcasts like this. By the way, if you're new to this podcast, welcome. And I want to invite you to subscribe, follow the show, and share it with someone who could use this inspiration as well. And if you have been here for a while, well, thank you for being here too. I appreciate you so much. You are the reason that I do this. This is a part of my mission. And also invite you to please scroll down into your app, however you get your podcast, when you perhaps pause washing the dishes or pause your drive. That's how we mostly listen to podcasts. Scroll down and just tap the stars, leave a review. That is the most amazing thing you could do as a podcast listener, because it helps me to, you know, be able to be boosted in the algorithm, to be recommended to other people in the podcast app. And it just simply helps me to keep moving forward with making podcast episodes. So back to the mission, because this is a part of my mission. I think this is a helpful focus for us to realize that in your heart, if you are someone who wants to help, if you are someone who has a compassionate outlook on our human race and for our planet, and if you are someone who really is sensitive to spiritual and psychic abilities, there's a reason, if you will, that you have it. That's why all humans kind of are looking for purpose. It's that mission, and I see it as a stamp, almost like a fingerprint imprinted on your heart. And as we open it up and support it with things like our natural abilities or our spiritual abilities, and then we also allow ourselves to let it be to flow forward, it's like this stamp on our heart lights up and it connects with its counterpart, its polar opposite part, which is a universal recognition, the universal plan for you. If you think about that stamp inside your heart that lights up and you think about some kind of distant cosmic light that is the universal plan, the universal knowing of you, and that those two lights can form a frequency and a trajectory of light. I call this your path of light. And you can call this your mission too. And I want to say that we are all being called and activated, those of us who, not everyone on the planet maybe, I don't know, but definitely those of us who are here seeking our spiritual expansion and seeking the heightening and expansion of our consciousness. And you are not alone, and you are very much needed. So I just wanted to, I'm going to check out some more of Jocelyn's work because, again, her hero's journey of a story is so, and it's so hope, so hopeful and so empowering. And no matter what you have been through, you have the what you have been through, whether it's trauma or challenge or difficulty, life's changes, ups and downs, that no matter where you are, you do have that mission and you do have that calling and you do have that place in our world and in the universe of that we need you for your uniqueness. So check out Jocelyn and all of her links in the show notes. Also check out the things that I'm offering right now because it is a big part of my mission to be facilitating people both in individual work as well as group programs to help you to open your abilities, help you to get on your life mission, and to help you to be in the position of service that you are designed to be and that you have designed for your soul's journey here in this life. So check out all of those offerings like my multidimensional mediumship program, which is a group program, my animal communication program. I have other ones that are intuitive development programs, channeling, and many other things coming forward. But I do have a roster. You can either drop in and get one session from me, but to work with me in a spiritual, transformative, therapeutic way, I have a small roster of that. So you can check out my website, find that mentoring and coaching tab, and you'll find a way to book a discovery call with me to see if it is, you know, if it's aligned for us to work together and also if I have availability. So those are my offers. Those are my invitations. Once again, reminding you about the free resource of HMI College of Hypnotherapy to work in hypnotherapy with a resident or a clinical resident. And that's pretty awesome. Check it out. And that's what I have for you in this episode. And so until next time, please accept my deepest gratitude that you are here shining your light on our beautiful world. And thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.